Let's talk about what's been happening in Kazakhstan. There have been huge protests across the country.
It was shocking how fast it went across the entire country. We're talking about a country the size of Western Europe.
The larger message they were sending to the government is enough is enough.
The president said it was an attempted coup and ordered his security forces to shoot to kill. He even called in Russian troops for backup. On the streets, things have now calmed down. But what's behind all this? Is there a power struggle going on at the top? And why are so many people in Kazakhstan unhappy with their government? Okay, let's set the scene. Kazakhstan is really huge. It's the size of Western Europe. It's also pretty wealthy. It has the biggest economy in Central Asia and huge reserves of oil, natural gas, and minerals. Thing is, most people in Kazakhstan don't really benefit from that wealth. The average person earns less than $600 a month. And then there's a small group of super rich tycoons. 162 people own around 50% of the country's wealth, according to one report.
Kazakhstan has really a two-tier system. One for the oligarchic elites that really benefit the most from the wealth of the country, and another one is for everyone else.
And for decades, there's been one guy at the very top of that system, Nursultan Nazarbayev. He was a leading official back when Kazakhstan was part of the Soviet Union, and then became president after Kazakhstan got its independence in 1991. Nazarbayev held on to the job for 30 years. No real political opposition was allowed to emerge, and basically everything revolved around him.
He built a personalized regime where majority of political decision-making was connected largely to him.
For a long time, he was genuinely popular. Even though he was an autocrat, he was popular for how he was able to bring extraordinary economic growth to the country and also maintain political stability.
But in 2019, Nazarbayev finally stepped down as president, and his hand-picked successor, Kasym Jomart Tokayev, became president. In name, anyway. Because Nazarbayev stuck around. He kept his title of Elbasy, that's leader of the nation, and got a lifetime appointment to head up Kazakhstan's powerful Security Council.
Nazarbayev was really pulling the strings. He was an informal number one in the country, whereas Tokayev was number two.
But still, with Tokayev taking over as president, there was a sense that change was in the air. He promised to bring in some reforms and even went on what he called a listening tour around the country. Trouble is, things didn't really change.
You have a mass-scale corruption, and you have this growing inequalities across different social classes in the country. The people are becoming poorer, they cannot afford many things, and then pandemic obviously exacerbated it further.
So when people woke up on the first day of 2022 and saw that fuel prices had doubled, well, that got people going. The protests started off peacefully in a town in the west. But within days, they'd spread across the country. And even though the government quickly reversed the fuel price hike, by this point, the anger had become about so much more.
У нас Казахстан превратился в частное предприятие Назарбаевых.
People were fed up with inequality, and they completely connected this inequality to the regime and the government.
They were actually protesting against Nazarbayev and the regime that Nazarbayev built and the political system that Nazarbayev built, and Tokayev was seen just as a figurehead.
Things soon got violent, especially in Kazakhstan's biggest city, Almaty. President Tokayev declared a state of emergency and blamed what he called terrorists, bandits, and foreign actors for what was happening, although he didn't give any evidence. And he said this.
Правоохранительным органам и армии мною дан приказ открывать огонь на поражение без предупреждения.
Maybe there were some organized criminal groups participating there. There was lots of various theories and interpretations flying around. It was important to note it was mostly a bottom-up collective action by Kazakhstan citizens who Tokayev now calls terrorists.
Here's something else Tokayev did. He called for outside help from a regional military alliance led by Russia. It's called the Collective Security Treaty Organization, the CSTO. And it responded with around 2,500 soldiers, mostly Russians. Nothing quite like this has happened before.
It is really an unprecedented development on the former Soviet space in Kazakhstan. And I think in general, just internationally, that a military organization is deployed against domestic political protest.
In any case, the crackdown seemed to work. Within about a week, things had calmed down, and those foreign troops were on their way home. The government said 225 people had been killed, including 19 members of the security forces. Around 12,000 people have been arrested so far.
The vast majority of those arrested are just ordinary people who came to the streets to voice their political and economic grievances. So that in itself shows that the government will not shy away from repression.
Now there's something else going on here, and that's all the political intrigue and what looks like a power struggle at the top. Remember how we said that when Tokayev became president, Nazarbayev was still pulling the strings? Well, it looks like things have shifted. During this whole time, Nazarbayev was nowhere to be seen. There were even rumors he'd fled the country, rumors he eventually denied in a video statement on his website.
Сообщаю, что я в 2019 году передал полномочия президента Касым-Жомарту Токаеву. И с тех пор являюсь пенсионером и в настоящее время нахожусь на заслуженном отдыхе в столице Казахстана.
Now, in that statement, Nazarbayev also denied there were any divisions at the top. But one thing looks pretty clear. Tokayev seems to have strengthened his position. Tokayev took Nazarbayev's job as head of the Security Council, and a close ally of Nazarbayev, the head of the intelligence agency, was arrested for treason. Tokayev also appointed a new prime minister and a new cabinet. But the big question is what this actually means for people in Kazakhstan. Are they going to see things change? He announced a bunch of new policies, things like higher taxes for mining companies and a new social fund that the richest people and companies are meant to pay into.
He openly declared that it's time for a much more fair and just wealth redistribution. So the economic growth should translate into actual benefits for ordinary citizens.
A lot of what he spoke about is still slightly ambiguous. It does respond to some of the grievances, but we don't, unless we see it in action, it's still too early to talk about these things.
What we've seen with the recent events in Kazakhstan are the first big signs of cracks in the system, the old way of doing things. Tokayev seems to be trying to paper over those cracks, but will it work? And for how long?
We saw similar popular uprising in Georgia, in Ukraine, and Kyrgyzstan. Now we see this in Kazakhstan. It is a sign of a more mature citizenry, politically mature citizenry, that is ready to ask for the right for representation and their voices to be heard.
In case you missed it or haven't yet seen our most recent explainer on what's happening in Ukraine, we've linked it here for you. Also, make sure to subscribe to this YouTube channel so you don't miss our upcoming episodes. And I'll see you next week.